Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, episode 141, and welcome to 2023. We'll be talking to Jennifer Smith. And who is the also? We'll talk all about this after. But first, I will introduce and thank my sponsor, HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Through organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, and Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, we rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And now, so always just follow me on at concussiontalk.com, the socials, and subscribe rate. I'm assuming it's Christmas time, so don't have too much of a break. Subscribe rate, review. What else? Jennifer, what else did I say there? Yeah, we'll do it for the podcast.
That's a great question. I don't know. I feel like we're gonna chat about my story, and then a little bit of all the stuff we're gonna do together.
I plugged you can buy the shirt on TeePublic or go to my website. But now, Jennifer, who we just heard from, will tell us about we met for the first time. She's on. She's the vice president of our board volunteer vice president of our Newfoundland Labrador Braintree Association board. So we will talk with that, the Braintree Association. And also first we'll talk about Jennifer's own Braintree story. And we met for the first time in, well, I guess September, but October really. And we sat and had coffee. And I guess right, just tell us you told me that day about the whole thing, just start to finish.
Okay. So thanks for having me. This is really exciting. And Nick, you have been a light in my world for the last 2 to 3 months that we've met. So this has been great. Cool. So one of the things I've learned over the last couple of years is that the stories we tell ourselves are really kind of important. And so I'm going to try and tell my lens of my story today. So in August of 2018, things happened. I basically had a cerebellar stroke.
What things happened, but you don't talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into it. There was a couple of things that led up to it that I'll get to in a moment, but it was a Sunday morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. I was bobbing my head to music, and then I had this sudden feeling that it was really, really not well. I got up, and it was like this pressure in my head, and then it turned into not being able to see it in one eye. And the first thing I did was I got up because I was with a few people, my husband and his friend. I got up and like went to the washroom and like just felt really, really unwell, to the point where I came back out and told my husband that I needed to go to emerge because something wasn't right. I couldn't see out of one eye and I was having an intense pain in my head. And so he drove me to Emerge. And by the time we got to Emerge, which is only about a 10-minute drive from my house, I was not able to, I had basically Bambi legs. I wasn't able to walk. And of course, I didn't really know what was going on. Got into Emerge and was trying to be like, I don't know what they call it, but just checked in. And then my world started spinning. It was like I was on the most vicious spinning ride imaginable. My hands shot right out because I was trying to stabilize myself. And I basically was in a vicious cycle of getting sick and spinning for many, many hours. And I think over the course of the 8 or 10 hours that I was in Emerge, they finally, after a couple of scans and things, realized what was happening was that I was having a cerebellar stroke. And so what caused that was both the vertebral arteries in the back of my neck were dissected. So, and I think at that time, one was completely blocked and clotted and the other one wasn't, it was still bleeding. So this, I guess, could rewind us back to about 2.5 weeks before that, where I actually sustained the injury that caused all this. They figure that because it was like undiagnosed whiplash, that I had received this from a go-karting accident about 2.5 weeks earlier. And I remember having a really heavy helmet on and having my seatbelt like strapped really tight and getting hit and sort of my head kind of going side to side. And that's sort of the thing that they figure caused the injury to my neck. Mm-hmm. So I didn't put two and two together that, you know, this was a severe injury that could result in what happened 2.5 weeks later. I thought I just had a sore neck. You're go-karting with friends. It's not something you figure. So the time in between having that injury and having my stroke, I went to work every day. I went camping. I went running. I was heavily into the running room. And I was really sluggish is the only term I could describe. Like, my running time was like completely off, and I was having this neck pain that was only happening when I was sleeping. So every time I was like lying down, it hurt, but like I'd go about my day and I'd be generally okay. When I was like camping and things, like I just felt lightheaded or a little bit out of sorts. So I think this was basically my neck injury, not getting enough blood to my brain or what have you. But anyway, it all came to a head 2.5 weeks later when I was just bobbing my head to music. And I guess I must have dislodged clot, and it caused some pretty traumatic, I think. It was very, like, I can remember it. So it's like I can remember a lot of it. So I'm going to give you just little pieces of it. So I was in the hospital for a week, and of course they give you this medication to try and bust the clots gently, and you're on like blood thinners and things like that. And I was terrified when I was in the hospital, like I was going to forget to breathe. I was super anxious, everything, because it affected my my left side. So it affected my ability to walk, balance, hold anything with my left hand, my vision, my hearing, and so like even my neck. So I was in the hospital for that week where they did like your very basic rehabilitation so that I could go home. So I went home with a walker, all the assisted things that one would get from the, I can't remember what organization lent it to us, but so I had all this like mobility aids at home, and I was home for 3 weeks before I was reassessed at the Miller Center. It affected my vision and all kinds of things that to this day are still lingering issues. So I was in the Miller Center for rehabilitation for, I think it was 2.5-3 months.
Inpatient?
Did you say? Yes. Outpatient. Actually, outpatient. So I would go, I would physically go there 2 or 3 days of the week for your occupational therapy, your physiotherapy, and a few other ones, the social worker type counseling, and the nutritionist.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. But I was, I guess, a little bit of a outlier to what they usually see. So there was like a lot of like, how did this happen? Like, oh my goodness, like this is amazing that you recuperated the way that you recuperated and things like that. I ended up going to the Disney Imbalance Center for some of the visual rehabilitation, because I had to sort of train this eye to, because all the muscles basically on my left side were affected. That was interesting. I was on medication because basically I still had clots in the back of my neck for a little while. They had to wait for the arteries to recanalize, so basically heal. And so I think after about 3 months, I was released from the neurology care. And so that with that was the, like, you should be done your physio now. You should go back to work and all these things. And I think largely it was a too soon, but at the same time, probably helped me with a lot of the
anxiety. A good kick in the butt.
I needed something to just stop focusing on, like, how come all these things are not working? Yeah. So, because I had been like having what people that normally get migraines, they would have like these aura type migraines, and I was new to migraines.
Yeah.
And so I would go to Emerge for every migraine or little blip. So anyway, I think that was a good little push, but it was also a push that put me into things a little bit too soon, too fast. And then came the journey of the mental, the mental recovery.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about the whole, like, what symptoms you still have, and also going back to work, how that was, right? Because it's kind of all one thing, like your I guess the mental distress, your persistent symptoms, and going back to work are all kind of meshed together. Started to really ask you separately, so I'll ask you as one. So what happened there? How was all of that going back to work? And
it all happened all at one. You're absolutely right. So with regards to like the going back to work, so before I get to that, so my husband was a substitute teacher. I worked full time as a researcher, and I was in the middle of doing my PhD part time. So Jeff actually he stopped work to care for me full time as my primary caregiver.
That was like it was like a 6 hours for a long time too. It was like just he had to take
it was 6 months.
What? And he's a substitute teacher, so that's like it really.
Oh yeah, no, it was. Yeah. And so what ended up happening then is, so he used to work up north teaching, and so because of that, and at the time I think it was a hard time to get work here in Newfoundland. It's not so bad it now, always but is. So he went back up north to teach. In January, and so I was basically thrust into back to work full time and like become independent. And I think that was actually the push I needed, because if I didn't have this, like, you're living alone, opportunity. I think I would have depended on him so greatly, and I wouldn't have been able to like pick myself up a little bit. So that was, that was something. And it's funny because we were literally just about to start the, like, cause we have had done the long distance for so long. We were just about to start the, like, hey, we're back in the same,
same city.
And we'll spend the next 6 months for you taking care of me because I'm injured. But so physically, it was remarkable how quickly I was able to come back with like getting balance, able to walk, strengthening some of my balance and use of my hands. But it took a lot longer with the permanent like tinnitus that I have, the ringing in my ears, the photosensitivity, the fatigue, the migraines. Oh my gosh, the fatigue is by far the worst. I still feel some of these things 4 years later.
You still have the tinnitus, whatever you want to have you pronounce it. Have a doctor
friend. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Have a doctor friend pronounce it tinnitus.
So there you go.
I think that's right.
That's definitely right.
I've always said tinnitus. But again, it's off the, so you still have the T, blah, blah, us.
Yeah, I still have it. It's like my companion now. Sometimes like it tells me like, hey, you're working too hard, or you've pushed yourself too much, and it'll kind of scream a little louder in my ears. And I'm like, okay, I need to.
It's affected by your fatigue level.
Yeah. Same thing with like just like my eyesight. So it sometimes gets really tired and just decides that it's tired and you should go to sleep. So I should really be taking the naps that one needs to recuperate. So those are the things that are sort of lingering now. So I didn't have my they take your license when these things happen. And then I was able to get my license back before Jeff went back up north. But the mental health piece was probably the hardest journey. And I only came out of that probably, and it is a roller coaster, but I feel like I have had a moment of clarity right before joining the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association. So it's been a road. I found myself being extremely irritable. I found myself really isolating myself from people and not being able to share in their life successes and joys. And it was like it just went into a really dark, dark space.
Just not the commotion. Was that the trouble with what you isolated yourself? Was it the commotion of being around other people, or was it just the other people, what they do?
Yeah, I think, certainly there was a lot of overstimulation and like that, like the people's like sounds. I was really, really sensitive to different sounds and smells and different things like that. That was certainly part of the irritability piece. But the other part is that like, people don't necessarily understand what you've gone through. And so there was a lack of understanding of what my fatigue was, that it wasn't just tired. That sleep was going to fix this. Sometimes I would wake up having had a full night's sleep and just be fully fatigued. Right. So there was a lot of just,
you need a nap. I'm like, sorry, I don't need a nap. I need to reduce the fatigue, it's a different thing, but sorry, keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a lot of just like, I think just people not recognizing that I have these lingering invisible issues that affect my ability to function from your day-to-day activities. I think I finally came to find some resources online from the different groups that I had joined about spoon theory, which is like people that have chronic or chronic illnesses or disabilities or things like that, that try to explain how much energy they have for their day to people that have more neurotypical, I guess, energy. Anyway, yeah. I've learned some tricks to help me kind of regulate what it is I can and can't do in the run of a day. And I've also just taken the pressure off myself not to be superhuman. So I felt at one point that there was this like unwritten pressure to like, oh, you've had a near death experience. Now you need to come out of it and be like, run an Ironman. I don't know. Yeah. You do an Ironman.
You run, you swim, you bike. So it's
there,
like,
you go.
You pick one. You run. Yeah, sure. Just say it.
Yeah. So like I've never, that was never ever in my, like, I'm not an athlete. I'm like the little geeky kid. So like there was never in my life like that I would ever do an Ironman. And so like after this stroke, it was like, oh well, now clearly you have to show the world that you have had an enlightenment moment. Do your Ironman.
Yeah.
Come like superhuman. And that was like, I'm just so tired. I can't just to get the physio in for the day that you need to do to like make sure your body doesn't seize up or what have you, and then do a full day's work. And then I was having family and friends saying like, why are you still doing the job that you were doing before? Like, shouldn't you like, you know, have had an enlightenment of, you know, now you should be a physiotherapist or, and I mean, like people weren't saying this, but I put like these crazy expectations on myself. And I was like, okay. And so finally I was like, I'm just going to let go of all this like superhuman recovery stuff and just carry on about it as if I was, you know, the new version of what I am. So yeah, that's sort of what happened there. And the part that I think I like to try and share with people is that everyone has had some kind of, maybe not physical trauma to themselves, but so they know someone that has been impacted. So like part of my motivations behind joining the Newfoundland Brain Injury Association was to try and just
My question was that you jumped ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Keep going. Yeah. So it's just to bring their like awareness to the fact that like people are people. Everyone's human. They're all going through hurdles and struggles, and you should just like bare minimum treat people with kindness. And then if you're trying to look at ways to help people that have any been affected by any kind of thing, just bring awareness to what those things are. Right. So how can we better teach people to recognize the signs of brain injuries in the various forms? Because I'm still learning about all the different forms.
Yeah.
And then how to prevent those things, see the symptoms, prevent things like that. So I know that we're getting into our next topic. So, Nick, you're welcome to lead me here.
I don't even know what we're going to deal with that. But actually, first one that I asked you about, because you were saying, because I can't believe you already mentioned it really, so I don't know if it's much more to say, but when we had a meeting last month, or last meeting with the outside parties, let's say that, you mentioned that, that your husband had to leave work, and that was very important, that he couldn't just leave for like 2 months or a week, 2 weeks, and just come back. He had to like, as a teacher, he had to come back, he had to be there, be on the phone, like on the phone, but be available by phone for when you need it. But so type of the available care support that's needed for people with, and people don't understand that you need support. You think, oh, you know, 3 months, you're fine now, just get out and get back to the world. So
absolutely. Yeah. No, thanks for making that emphasis, because
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, that was actually one of the biggest motivating factors behind why we've even met, is that I understand that the people that we interact with at the Miller Center were providing the best available supports that they had, but we were navigating a very unknown circumstance, and there was a lot of things that it would have been helpful to know about to help navigate that. So like a lot of the brochures and reading materials that were provided to him during this time was kind of old, some of the stuff about how to care for someone and things like that were for people that were in their 70s and 80s, not someone that's trying to live their midlife or what have you, like
earlier
careers and all that busy stuff. So like we didn't even know about the supports one could have financially as a primary caregiver from the government. We knew nothing about any of that. We didn't avail of any of those opportunities. We basically navigated this the best we could with very limited information. I didn't actually know about the Newfoundland Brain Injury Association until about 2 or 3 years after. And I thinking back on it, like there was like a stroke recovery group that I had joined. And it just seems like it would have been very, very useful to have someone like Cassandra as a lifeline to resources, to other, all the information that I'm now learning about after the fact. So, because it's a scary time to think, okay, well, like looking back on it, it's like, okay, well, you know, you've come a long way and you're back to a functioning member of society. But at the time we were really unsure what was going on, and the statistics were being thrown at you, and you're just like, oh, good gracious, like how much is this? Right. So his world was really, really quite disrupted. And the kind of care that he was providing me wasn't just like helping manage my appointments and driving me to different appointments. It was like
mental and emotional.
I need, well, the emotional supports for sure, but like physically I couldn't walk, right? Like I had a walker in my house. I couldn't, had like a, there's all kinds of physical things that couldn't cook. I couldn't clean. Couldn't like even now I have trouble like doing like your basic cutting because you know the hand sucks. But and then the emotional side of things. Good gracious.
Yeah.
I don't think anything prepares you for that kind of just emotional deregulation. Like I have a really hard, at the time I had a really hard time regulating my emotions. And,
yeah. So I guess now we'll kind of go back to, not go back. This is a whole conversation has been a bit of a loop. So it all ties in. The Newfoundland Arbor Range Association. When did you decide to join? And I guess we kind of already answered this, well, why and when, but I'll just get to repeat it. It's fun.
Yeah. So I found out about the Newfoundland Brain Injury Association when they had their dinner and dance in 2021.
And Labrador. We have to do the whole problem.
Okay. So in Labrador. Thank you. So when the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association had their dinner and dance in 2021, you were the guest speaker, I think.
Yep.
I have invited my husband and my mom and my dad to go because it landed on my birthday. And that's where I learned about everything, what that organization was about. And then it took me a year to get up the courage to reach out and send a note to Cassandra to see if you needed any help.
I didn't join him for the second time until January of 2022. January, February of 2022. So
yeah. So I think, I remember you telling your story and I was like, oh man, this is someone that I need to like chat with and learn about their recovery story and what they're up to, right? So but yes, it took me a long time to get to that point because I was still feeling like a victim. Yeah. I don't even know. It's just like it was, and I was so eventually I got to a point in my story where I was like, cool, I'm in a new chapter now. I should stop feeling like I was feeling sorry for myself.
Trying to apply different, like the way people talk about other illnesses and injuries, and they're trying to apply it to yourself. It's hard to really know which unit, which bag, which section, which they want to, you should be fit in. Like it's weird. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then I was finally at a point where I'm like, okay, let's see what I can do to help other people. And so I think it was like early October when I attended my first meeting with a group, and it's been a whirlwind ever since.
Right away, you were put on the bus for this. Where I said, "Can you be president?" You're like, "I guess so." Sure, yeah. Why not? What am I gonna do?
So since then, I think you and I have had quite a few chats about our vision for what we could do and the ways that like, we could provide supports to everyone that's sort of affected by brain injury. Yeah. And so, I feel like we have some great ideas. And I think between the group of people on the board and whatnot, we'll hopefully make some of them happen.
I hope so. And just to talk about Cassandra is the coordinator of programs and services at the Brain Injury Association. She's our only staff member. So some of the things that Jennifer just mentioned, the efforts we're making to get awareness out there. I don't know how much we can talk about that because we're waiting for hopefully government funding, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just any funding. Well, government will help us out, but we need other people funding as well. And so if anyone's listening wants to help out the Newfoundland Arbor Brain, NLBIA.org or .ca. If anyone wants to help that out, then please visit the website NLBIA.ca. And Cassandra will be back in the office next week, January 4th or 3rd. But next week. So this is about the third. But Jennifer was talking about what the board, what we want to do, and we'll try to tell as much as we can without running into, problems of what we can say. I don't know if there is a problem. There's maybe they're not problems, but I mean, Jennifer, you want to?
Yes. So I'm still learning about the all the different forms of brain injuries and the different things that occur and whatnot. But one of the things that I think, I don't even know where it came from, but there's been a lot of talk about concussion prevention in schools and taking a lot of the literature that's out there and trying to
our present actually.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Was it Cletus?
Cletus, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know if I'm there, but I'm pretty sure that's what was told me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like the idea is to bring prevention education to young people so that they can better understand how to protect themselves from brain injuries. And then when in the unfortunate event that they may occur, because life happens and these things can happen, how to recognize those symptoms. In sharing my story on social media with amongst my own friends, I've met a lot of people that have had very different forms of either concussions or severe brain injuries from car accidents and things like that. And it's each of them have quite a recovery and just a journey in trying to understand their symptoms. So I think that there's a opportunity to just make the public more aware of what
definitely
what that looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, could it be a more, I think, just so much vision. It's also a big blank space there for us to write on and teach people about concussion or any brain injury, and just how, like, even the word recovery is a bit misleading, I find, because recovery kind of says get back to where you were, but it takes time. So therefore, even just time itself, what I found myself, which is more over, I was in 03, it was long, so it's been maybe 20 years this year, 20 years, August 1st. And I mean, that's, you're not going to be the same thing. I'm not going to, I mean, 43, 23, I mean, I'm not going to be the same person, no matter what, no matter if I'm best shape of my life. And I keep my feet, this one part of my I don't know if that's for my brain injury or what, but I don't know what to do with the hands, but that's maybe subconscious, Nate, but this is not a good. I'll put my hands on my back for this.
There you go.
Look, I'll straighten my shoulder, my shirt. But but it's different. Like that, you're not going to recover. Recovery seems like you're getting back to what you were, or where you were, and the same person more or less. But you're not. You're going to be different, and that's something terribly. Even that word, I know that's the only word that would really go where people would even want to hear about anything but being the same person they are, but you're not going to be in this.
It's really true. That's a big piece of just trying to come to terms with. But the other thing with all this is, I know we've had some great conversations with Cassandra about concussions, and like, it's just making people in the general public aware of like what the effects of a concussion are on someone, so that like there are better supports in place for them. Like I just keep hearing stories about people like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of realized afterwards that this, I was likely experiencing the symptoms of a concussion, and people around me they were able to say that I was off, but they weren't able to like pinpoint, hey, you might be experiencing the aftermath of concussion, and therefore we should be, you know, kinder to you, find supports to help you navigate this tangly space.
Yeah, because I was just talking to friends who said like, oh, I just felt very bad that I went skiing yesterday, I fell down a couple of times, and you know, and whatnot, I've seen that here. Obviously, this is a straight, I'm digging the spot, but it's the same thing because there's no snow here. But we'll say it's someone saying like I went for a run and I felt so yesterday I felt good. I mean, I went for a run, fell down once, but like that was fine. And today I have a headache, or today I'm really tired and I just didn't do much today. I couldn't get out of bed today. So well, and I just have to move on. That's like a normal story. But then you think it's probably because they had a concussion and they couldn't treat it right, treat it correctly, and then correctly, then in like longer, it's not just today, you'll be fine. But maybe in like a few months or a few weeks, you'll start feeling weird and it's just
serious. Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's like, so part of that, my thought process behind that is sometimes when you are experiencing the aftermath of any form of brain injury, you yourself might not be able to be aware of these things. And therefore the education piece that I'm looking to try and help us bring out there is the support network and the family to try and get them to have a better awareness of those things so that they can help that person navigate this unknown space, which is part of the second motivation or part of what we're trying to do with that proposal we had written, Nick, with the is bringing forward more of the peer support in the ABLE program at the Newfoundland Labrador Brain Injury Association.
There's a great counseling as well, program that run by.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying, just telling everybody, it's a great counseling, kind of peer counseling, kind of a peer support group that Cassandra runs at the Brain Injury Association. So for anyone listening, yeah.
Absolutely. No, thank you. And so to bring that, bring the accessibility to that organization or program to people, as well as potentially expand it to having some kind of support or education piece to caregivers, so that they can help navigate this space as well, right? So I think sometimes they get forgotten in the process of recovery and whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as I'm trying to raise awareness, raise education, and increase education about concussions and brain injuries on this podcast is itself very niche, and which is unfortunate because there's so much. Because it should be just a general, by right to measure should be just a general podcast because so much concussion goes on and brain injuries and other injuries every day that people just, but this is a podcast we all want to do because, I haven't had a brain injury. I haven't had a concussion. I don't know. I just do with it. Just stop talking. And so there's a need for as much education as there is on this podcast. But this episode is not necessarily for the people who listen to this podcast. This is for people who don't listen to this podcast, which is a weird way to do it. But, it's like this is for the general public who should be hearing, but should be being educated about this and just admitting that maybe you don't know everything about concussion. Like, just because you know somebody who had one or may have one, you don't necessarily know one. Just be open to hearing about it and learning about it. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess we have to end it just on not plea, but a request for support from anybody who is able or any organization, company who's able to fund, like to fund, to support the NLBIA.ca, NLBIA, and let us help to get the word out about concussion, about brain injury to the younger people and everyone. But just we'll start up, bring up our plan and start up with the younger population and get them in early. Hopefully nothing will happen, but they'll know stuff will happen because it's like as Jennifer was saying, it's life and you don't know what's gonna happen every day. So we just want to get it up there early on so people know what to do and what to look for and how to approach it and just to be kind to people, be helpful, be a short support And I guess the main thing is to support the NLBA.ca. NLBA, and the website is NLBA.ca. And with that, I would just like Jennifer to give any last words. Do you have any final words to the people who may be listening? Hopefully not the regular listeners, all the more people, which at this point is probably a bit late to ask that, but you know.
No, sure. So one of the things is I think about who the audience could be, and I know that there's a couple of people that have had different forms of brain injuries before and since my own injury. And I just want to say something to encourage them that you do get better day by day. If you just think about your incremental improvements, and that those that are kind of supporters of anyone that has undergone some kind of traumatic injury, there is just to try and remain optimistic that there are people out there to support you. It's just a matter of we're hoping to find ways to bring those supports around. So don't be too discouraged by the upset in your life, right? So hopefully with what we're planning to do with some of the work that we're doing, we'll be able to just bring some of the access, some of the awareness, so that we can sort of improve the overall situation. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks so much. And stick around, please, because I forgot to tell you first. I'll just do the goodbye to the podcast, but if you stick around for a second.
Sure.
And I want to just thank you. Here's to a great 2023, and hopefully the NLBA week and Jennifer and I and others, Sandra and others, will hopefully get this program going, and we can start teaching others about what to look for concussions and on all brain injury, and get the word out there. So thank you again. And this is episode 141. So be back with 142. When? I don't know. And with whom? I don't know either. So, but it'll be good. It'll be 148, 142. Yeah. So thanks for listening. And have a safe and happy 2023. And this is January 3rd. So it's post the all the festivities this will go out on. But thanks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.